Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Welcome, welcome everyone to Everyday Empires podcast. I'm here with Yash Agarwal. This is part three of our special. Yash is an ex-investment banker, future entrepreneur, and this segment we're going to talk about his investment banking days. So we talked about the first segment is early life living in Dubai. Then we talk about being an international student in Nottingham. Second segment was getting into the workplace, how he got his first job, what it was like, and millennials versus Gen Z, and there's some fun stuff in there as well. This segment's going to be your second job. So you spent about a year and a little bit in equity research.
Correct.
And then you got the big analyst job at a prestigious investment bank. What was that like?
Okay, so I think for context, I didn't actually want to leave my old job. I love my old job. Like, I'll be honest, at that time, I was getting a lot of offers because this is the thing about like corporate life, right? Getting through the door is hard, but once you're there, getting jobs and opportunities after that is a lot easier, as you, I'm sure you know. But you know, I really didn't want to leave my equity research job. I was really enjoying it. I think I love the process. I love what I was doing. But for whatever reason, someone reached out to me about this job. I just thought, fuck it, I'll just apply, you know, and see where it goes. I didn't really like, and it's funny, I had a lot of M&A job offers before, but I'm really that interested in doing them.
Yeah.
Because I was like, look, this is what I'm doing. I don't want to get into M&A and IPOs or investment banking. Yeah, I ended up applying and I did the whole process. And you know, through the process, it kind of started making sense to me why I wanted to do it in the first place. Because I think that first job was amazing from a technical perspective. I was really developed my skills and I really understood a lot more about the MENA market and the different stock markets here in the region. But I didn't think I had the training, the proper training or skill set, like the hard skills, like developed properly. So I think I wanted to, you know, just like making slides and communicating ideas and structuring thoughts. I don't think I had that training there in that particular role, and I thought, you know, if I did this, it could maybe give me that. And that honestly, that was my reason for even considering applying. It really wasn't the money. Like, I really didn't know what I would be getting paid. I had no idea. Obviously, I knew it was a high paying job, but I didn't really rationalize it. But yeah, I mean, look, firstly, I think it's important we define what investment banking is, because it's pretty simple, but it seems to be something that like, it's like some mystery, you know? It's extremely simple. All we're trying to do is investment bankers try to match people who need money with people who can basically give that money, right? That's in a very core fundamental way. That's the best way to define it, is it's just matching people who have needs with people who have the ability to fill those needs, right? There's kind of three different divisions within an investment. Like, when you say you work in investment banking, it's not the same as you say when you work in an investment bank, because an investment bank has equity research, sales and trading. Investment banking is just one function of an investment bank, right? Hmm. But within investment banking, there's kind of three product groups, if you like. There's ECM, DCM, and M&A. So ECM stands for Equity Capital Markets. And basically what you're doing is you're advising companies who are looking to list their stocks, or basically IPO on these exchanges. You're basically advising them through that entire process, and you're basically getting them onto the market, right? And again, your job and your role is advising. You're not investing money in any of these businesses. It's a sell side role. So again, because the sell side were not deploying capital. So that's ECM. DCM is debt capital markets. So similar to an IPO, when a company maybe wants to potentially raise a bond, which a bond in very simple terms is just another form of debt. If you kind of want to get financing to build a new machine or a new factory or whatever it is, a bond allows you to do that. It's just an instrument. And essentially, again, you're just advising the company through the entire process to basically market the bond. Okay. And then M&A, which is, as you would think, is mergers and acquisitions. And it's essentially you're either helping a company get acquired or helping a company acquire another company, right? And you're, again, you're just advising through that process, right? That's essentially what investment banking is. Now, when I got the job, and you know, I remember we had a very deep conversation about this because, you know, I didn't really want to do it, to be honest with you, because I really did enjoy what I was doing. I kind of got the offer, and but through the process, you know, I just got more interested in the possibility of doing it. And I got the offer, and you know, I was like, yeah, look, I spoke to everyone, I spoke to my old boss, you know, and he was amazing about it. You know, he was like, look. And this is something that's important, you know, don't be afraid to tell your boss about this. This is pretty normal, you know, this is a very normal corporate thing. You know, you get offers all the time. And I went to my boss to genuinely seek advice. I was like, look, I really like what I'm doing. I'm not really sure why I would want to do this, but I think it would be helpful for me in the long term, right? And, you know, he was super helpful. He's like, look, I'll arrange a call. You know, we can speak about it. And like, he pros and cons did that with me. I did the same exercise. I spoke to different people and I was like, look, I think this is the best thing for me. And I took up the offer. My life changed. My life changed a lot.
So you spent 2 years, just over 2 years.
Two years and a month as an analyst at an investment bank, doing investment banking.
Were you ECM, DCM, M&A, or all three?
So we were primarily just doing ECM and M&A. There is a DCM team, but we weren't doing that. We were just doing ECM and M&A. We were sector agnostic, so basically there was no specific industry group. So generally with the bulge bracket banks like your Goldman Sachs, your Morgan Stanley's, etc., they arrange themselves by sectors, so industrials, financials, because they're doing enough deals in those sectors to be able to do that. But we were basically sector agnostic. We had no specific sector, which was honestly the best possible thing I could ask for because I got such a wide range of experiences, you know? Our focus was ECM and M&A. Yeah.
Nice one. Yeah. Did you have a preference for either one?
Oh, I loved ECM. Oh, man, doing an IPO is way better than doing an M&A, bro. Dude, because M&As are like, you know, they could go on forever. You know, they could never conclude, you know. But with an IPO, there's like a defined timeline, you know. There's like a step-by-step timeline. And like, you know whether this deal is going to happen. More than likely, you know whether it's going to happen. And you can see a bit of like the light, you know. With M&A, it's like, no one fucking knows, you know, like once you start, it's like whatever, it just keeps going, you know, it's just like something in the background just keeps happening, you know. But IPOs a lot more, and dude, IPOs are cool, you know. I really enjoyed my time doing IPOs. But yeah, so look, I started my first day. My first day was crazy. Like, look, you know, I've had a lot of like kids, I'm saying kids, I'm fucking my age, you know, but like I've had a lot of people essentially message me, you know, asking about banking and like, you know, wanting to know more about it, etc. They're all just super like, you know, I really want to do investment banking and like, I don't mind the hours and you don't know what you're talking about, you know, like unless you live that life, no one understands what it means to like work in investment bank. It's like a parallel reality going on, you know, like it's just completely different, you know. Look, obviously my experience with investment banking was, I think everyone gets pretty fucked and really rough hours, but like mine was, I'm not going to say it was more than anyone else's at all, but like it was a little bit, it was definitely a little bit on the heavier side in terms of the work. That's only because, you know, we were in a small team and at the time, you know, surprisingly, this is the luck, markets just popped off. You know, MENA markets was pumping because the governments were trying to push IPOs, transform the capital markets and basically improve liquidity. And essentially, they were going on this massive transformation from moving away from the oil to the non-oil. So this was kind of all playing into the macro themes that were going out. And so the whole capital market scene was completely like on steroids. And it's still on steroids, by the way. So therefore, the workflow that was happening was like nothing like this region has seen in the last, whatever, 10, 15, 20 years. You know, it's just, it's never been like this, you know? But, so yeah, I just happened to be joining into a situation that was fucked, you know? Like, but no, dude, I remember, so you know, coming back to those hours that we were talking about, everyone likes to think they can work 80 to 100 hours a week. It's not easy, you know? It is psychologically fucks you up, you know, like it really fucks you up. Look, I remember my first day, I kind of, you know, I remember them asking me, you know, like they gave me a task and they're like, do you know what a PE is? And like, this is the equivalent of asking me, like, you know, like at the time, you know, with already, yeah, I know it's only 1 year of like buy side experience, but this was my, I was doing that on a, like a minute, it's like second by second basis, you know, I could write a dissertation on the PE and they were asking me that. And I instantly realized in that moment, I need to be humble here. I need to really like listen to what these guys are saying and kind of relearn a lot of what I learned, you know, because the way they obviously use the same technical knowledge is very different to how I learned it as well, you know? So I really had to be humble and just really listen, you know, because these guys obviously know more about what they're talking about than I do, you know, for sure. And I can never assume that I know more, you know? But yeah, that was my first day. And I ended up staying till like 2, 3 a.m. in my suit on the first day. And I was just like, what the fuck is this? You know, like,
was it something they said, or did you just find that the workflow was just there and you just happened to be sitting there till two?
Yeah, yeah, no, you're working till 2, 3. No, we're not like chilling, you know, like this is not like, you know, we're waiting for our boss to leave. No, you're getting fucked, you know, like you're working, you know, like everyone's working. No, there's no like, it's I'll get more into the vibes of like how the night one, what the night vibes are. But no, dude, like it's an intense job, you know, it's a very intense job. But like, look, if you know why you're doing it, then it's good. It's a really, really good opportunity. If you can get to do it, it's a super transformative opportunity. And I think it really matters what you want. You know, if you're doing it for the money, good luck, man. Like, it's hard to motivate yourself with the money. Because after like your first big paycheck, you'll just be like, bro, like, this doesn't mean shit. You know, I remember getting my first bonus and I was like, like, okay, now what? You know, I'm just going to go back to getting fucked, you know? So like, what's the difference? You know, what's the difference in my life, you know? But no, look, those first 6 months in banking was, if I thought my first 6 months in equity research was hard, this was something else, you know? Like, this was something else. I remember one of my associates telling me, when you join banking, there's a you before banking and there's a you after banking, you know? Your old life, you have to shed. Your expectations of your life, forget about them, you know? Like, don't expect to have a weekend, you know? Just, I know I'm saying this in a joking way, but like, I'm being dead serious. Like, for the first 6 months, I had to learn how to be okay with just working 24/7. You know, like, this was like I'm not exaggerating. Like, getting up instantly from my bed, I'm on my emails, and then by the time I'm home, it's already like 3, 4 a.m. I'll go through the day by day, but like, I'm literally sitting in my room with my cold food, and I'm just there at 4 a.m. eating, just watching something for 10 minutes. I'm going to sleep and then going back to work. That's it. You know, that's my life. Like 7 days a week. I mean, 5 days a week, and then the weekends as well is pretty much work. Like, there's no like break here. You know, you just work. Like, there's nothing else, you know? If you get an opportunity to have a weekend, you know, enjoy it, you know, like fucking enjoy it. But like, very rarely do dude, your brain is so wired. Like, you fundamentally are a different person. You know, like, it's just, it's an impossible thing to explain. Like, that's why working 80 to 100 hours a week is not, it's not a joke, you know? Like, it's easy to say, I want to, like, oh, I'll do it. But like, actually doing it is something else, man. It's definitely something else. But those first 6 months I really spent, you know, like learning the basics, you know? Like, literally, man, I used to type an email. I used to send that email to my associate before I even sent it out. If it's an external email, like, it was that level of like, you know, every single thing is on point all the time, you know, and it has to be, because this is a business that's based on your selling quality. You know what I mean? Everyone in that job is high performers. Everyone in that job is super competitive. And everyone is good at what they do. Everyone is good at what they do. Your bosses above you are all extremely smart individuals and all extremely talented in their own ways. And it's a very competitive environment, you know, and it's not just about the work. You know, it's really not about the work. You know, even if you haven't slept for like, whatever, 2-3 days, like, you have to come and like, you know, you have to be a little bit social, you know, you can't just be like you have to, you know, it's like, you can't just shut it off. You know, you have to like, you have to be who you are, you know? But yeah, look, so those first 6 months was genuinely me learning the very basics about, you know, if I'm writing an email, how am I structuring my emails, formatting my emails in a specific way, formatting every single thing that comes out of my inbox, whether it's an Excel, whether it's a PowerPoint, you know? Oh my God, dude, I was so shit at making slides. I was fucking trash, dude. I was always shit at arts, you know? Like, arts is never...
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
My thing, you know, so like, I'm just not a creative guy, you know, but I like the numbers. I like the research, but I'm not a fucking creative guy, you know, so I was fucking shit at slides, you know, and my associates let me know, you know, my associate he knows who I'm talking about, you know, if he's listening to this, he knows who I'm talking about, you know, he gave me shit for like 3 years about it, whatever, 2 years about it, you know, and you know, I'm literally learning how to make a slide because the way you make a slide in banking is very different to the making slides in like normal life. You know, you're making like razor sharp documents where every single, like, you know, the messaging is on point, the way you format it, it's all aligned, the font is perfect, like this, you've sourced it properly, you know, like the numbers are like triple checked, you know, this is like it's about perfection in everything you do, you know what I mean? And the level of attention to detail that, and I know people think they have attention to detail. Man, it's on a different scale, bro. It's so much on a different scale that like most people who fucking work in bank after a year have OCD, bro. Like literally, they literally are all OCD as fuck about everything. You know, they like, even out, like just like everything in your, like, you know, you go outside, you're reading your menu in the restaurant, you're like, oh, this is not aligned, you know? like, you know, it becomes a bit crazy, you know? But no, dude, it was a, those first 6 months were tough, man. They were really tough because just getting used to the volume of work, fuck, man, like it was hard because you're not fast enough, you don't know it, not done this enough, you don't know enough, man. Just keeping my eyes open was a challenge. Like, I swear to God, dude, there was, you know, there was one of the transactions we were working on, my associate, it was like 2-3 a.m. me and my other analysts, my same class, you know, we're sitting there behind this associate because there's a slide that we've tried like 5 different versions of, but we don't like any of them. And he's trying to basically rework the slide. And both of us are sitting behind him. And dude, we passed out. We were like literally out cold and this guy's working, bro. And like during the day we're on calls, dude, there was a couple of times I went to sleep on the call, you know, because I was just like, on my desk, on my fucking desk. I'm sitting on my desk and my eyes are shutting, you know. Like, it was like, if I didn't drink coffee before, which I didn't, I definitely started fucking consuming caffeine, dude. Yeah, no, those first 6 months were tough, man. Very tough.
So walk me through, like, what does an analyst physically do?
Yeah, sure. So look, I think the best way to describe is I can kind of walk you through a day. Whatever, you're up whenever you're up. You get to the office whenever you get to the office. Generally speaking, most banks, like, they don't start working at 9 a.m. they start working at, like they're physically in the office like 10, you know, 10, 10:30, and then you actually start the work. I mean, it depends, you know, but because most of the times, this is only specific to the juniors, right? Because the juniors have late nights, and so they end up coming in a bit later. And basically, the second I get up on my bed, I'm instantly on my emails, right? Because maybe my associate has woken up early. So the structure for bank is, there's an analyst, there's an associate, there's an AVP, a VP, director, and an MD. Okay, that's generally the structure of most of these investment banks. And, you know, my associate might have reviewed my work from last night. Generally, that's probably not happened. But like in general, there's, you know, some emails that have come through from clients, etc. You're just kind of setting up your, you're just starting your day off, you know. Then I take, then I basically reach the office. And the first thing I'd do is, I wouldn't start work. I'd walk downstairs, have a smoke, like just to prepare myself for what's about to happen. And then, yeah, you basically that first like morning chunk of it is honestly, it's mostly just calls, right? Because clients are, they're working 9 to 5, right? You're not working 9, but they're working 9 to 5, right? So you want to, you're kind of dealing with, you know, you're getting on calls, talking about the process, or you're having an issue with this transaction, you're trying to sort it out. Generally speaking, from an analyst perspective on these calls, you're just listening and taking notes. Generally speaking, you're not speaking. Okay, like if you're first year, you're definitely not speaking. Depends. Some banks, like for example, with my bank, because we were a lot flatter, you know, most deal teams, like if you're at a bulge bracket, you're going to basically have whatever, like you're going to have like 50 people on a transaction, right? You'll have the guy that's like the research expert. You'll have the guy that's the industry expert, and you'll have like, you know, different teams and shit. No. Like with us, it was like, there was one analyst, there's one associate, and you basically did everything, you know, like A to Z, you did everything, you know, like from an execution perspective, you did everything, you know? But so you get on these calls, right? And then essentially as an analyst, you're just taking the notes. And it's so crazy that even after you've taken the notes, you clean the, you sit down and you clean up these notes, you know, like you make them structured, you make them proper, because sometimes you share these notes on emails. And yeah, whilst that's going on, you know, there could be a time where I'm taking the notes, but I'm also doing something else at the same time, you know, because it's just that intense. It's never like, because essentially the way the job works is you as an analyst are staffed on 4 or 5 transactions, right? So 2 could be IPOs, 2 could be M&As, 1 could be something else, you know. Each of them have their own needs. Each of them are on their own timeline. Each of them have their own deadlines. You know, it's like working, imagine working on like a college essay, right? Like you have a deadline for, and you're working for that deadline, but there's more college essays coming up as you keep working. Mm. You know what I mean? That's kind of the best way to describe it is, it's not static. It's super dynamic. It's super fast paced. You know, you just got to keep up. Like it's just as simple as that. So after that kind of 5 p.m., the new day starts. Okay. Which is basically you start the actual work, the execution work, you know, which is you're either making slides, which is generally what you're doing most of the times. You know, you have documents for a number of reasons, right? You're trying to explain something or trying to pitch something, you know? So from an analyst perspective, what you're actually doing is you're preparing all the material. So like whether it being the research to put onto the slides or actually making the slides, handling the Excels, building the models, you're basically getting your hands dirty with all of the work. You know, you're really the workhorse on this, right? And your associate is essentially guiding you through that process. Sometimes they'll help you, but generally speaking, you're the one kind of pushing the ball or keeping the ball rolling, you know? But yeah, that's generally what the workflow is for an analyst, yeah.
Were you a good one?
Was I a good one? I think I was a good analyst. No, I think I was a good analyst.
Why?
I think I was a good analyst because I had a lot of ownership over the work I was doing. You know, like whatever transaction I had, I was super like, this is my transaction. I'm going to do the best I can do, you know? And I was having conversations with my associates, the same types of conversations that they would be having with the MDs, you know? And the reason for that was because I actually loved the process. I loved the transaction. I wanted to succeed. So, you know, I'd have the conversation that, do you think we'll execute this deal at X? You know, like it wasn't so much just about
he's giving me instructions, I'm just doing it, you know? And that's what a good analyst should be doing, is you're actually thinking, you know? And you're thinking for yourself. And most importantly, you have an opinion and you're sharing your opinion. You're not scared to share your opinion. But that's really what it is. And it's about anticipating what the next step is, right? My associate asked me for X. I know instantly he's also going to expect me to have done Y. You know, he doesn't need to tell me. I know I need to do it. You know, that's basically what kind of makes a good analyst, you know. But yeah, no, dude, banking was fucking crazy, dude. Like, it's a different it's a different lifestyle, man. It's like nothing anyone can ever imagine. You just got to do it, dude. Like, and I don't know if a lot of people have kind of seen that Goldman Sachs survey. It's a pretty universal, like, if you work in banking, you know what. This is kind of why it's so desirable for employers, is because if you've worked in banking, you know what the other person's gone through. So you know this person can pretty much do anything, you know, like this person's capable of putting their head down and doing anything, you know, if they wanted to. And that's kind of why bankers are so like sought after in the job market, you know. But so those kind of 6 months were very formative for me. Like, I was just kind of more than just a job. I was just learning how to be a junior banker. You know, learning how to shut up, you know, that's the biggest thing. Cause you know, it's, you think work politics and your work is high, it's on steroids in an investment bank. You know what I mean? Like, cause everyone has needs, you know. Someone, this MD needs a pitch now, but the other MD needs this deck done now, you know. Who are you picking? You know, how are you going to pick them? How are you going to manage the situation? You know, it's a lot of that, you know, it's a lot of like the tough parts of the job is actually not. Because, dude, the work itself, honestly, is not hard. I don't think anyone in banking will claim that the work is hard. Because it's not. It's really not. At the junior level, it's not. Maybe at the senior level, it gets a little bit more creative and it's a little bit more, definitely more difficult, you know? But at a junior level, it's just stressful. It's just a lot of work.
If someone wants to get into investment banking, they tell you, Yash, I can handle the hours. Trust me. They tell you, I can handle the work. Trust me. What would you say to them?
Yeah, good luck. No, man. Like, I had these conversations. And I was just like, look, I'm not trying to dissuade you from doing it. And I don't think anyone should not. Like, if you really want to do it, you should have a crack at it for sure, you know. But, like, just be aware of what you're getting yourself into, you know, to some extent. Because, you know, that's why this is why bankers are kind of, yes, and there's always the stereotypes, oh, they're assholes, et cetera, but, like, they're super transparent people. You know what I mean? When I was having my interviews, the people who were interviewing me told me very honestly, they're like, look, you're coming into a team that's very stretched and the pipeline is massive. There's going to be a lot of work and it's going to be super intense, you know? Why would he tell me that? Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's very transparent because think of yourself like, you know, I'm not saying that this is the case, but like, you're kind of like a performance athlete in a way, right? And when they hire you, dude, you're working 18 hours a day with these people, like 15 hours a day with these people, you know, like the biggest thing they want is someone that's likable, you know, they want a fucking dickhead, you know, it doesn't matter how smart you are, you know, but like if you don't have a nice vibe to you, you're not a nice guy, you know, like you just won't, like you're just not going to fit in, you know, because when it's 2 a.m., 3 a.m. and things are rough, like you don't want the guy next to you that's the smartest. You want the guy that just has good attitude, he'll get it done with you and he'll do it, like we'll figure out a way together, you know. The experience was different, dude. It's just different, you know? And I think it's really not for everyone, man. It's really not for everyone.
Do you look back fondly at those days?
Oh, 100%, dude. 100%. Like, obviously, in the moment, I fucking hated my life, dude. Oh, my God. I can't even tell you how much. Every day it was just like, oh, I'm just going to quit. I'm going to quit. I'm going to quit. I'm going to quit. And literally the conversation, everyone around you, all they're talking about is quitting. You know? Everyone is just like, I want to fucking leave. You know, everyone hates their fucking life, you know, but everyone is doing it, you know? It's one of those environments where like you make it what you want to make it, you know? But I think, look, I think just to be, I can give you a story of like the intensity, you know? So one of the days we were staffed on what's called an RFP, request for proposal. So we had like essentially 100 page, 150 page deck due within like a week. I remember, so, you know, to be honest, at that time, if you were going home at like 1 a.m., that's early. You know what I mean? Like you, that's a good night. You know, you could have a proper like chilled out session. You know, you could like stay up till 2-3 and like, you know, chill out and just go to sleep. You know, those couple of like those first 2-3 days, they were like the Wednesday, the Tuesday, the Wednesday, the Thursday, sorry, the Wednesday, the Thursday, the Friday. We pretty much stayed up till 3 or 4, just getting the deck like going. And then on the weekend, so Friday, I think, we spent the night in the office. So basically for that entire weekend, we spent the entire weekend in the office. Like we slept on, like literally under our desk. Like I'm not exaggerating. Wow. Like we were actually sleeping under our fucking desks. My friend, like, and you know, we literally had to slap ourselves to like stay awake, you know, because you're like, bro, like this is not fucking getting done otherwise, you know? And dude, we were fucking zombies, bro. Like I literally saw people come to their shift, go home to their shift, and then see them the next day when they started their next shift, you know? Where I was still in my same clothes for those 3 days, sleeping on the floor, you know? And you think, you know, you're in fucking DIFC, you know? You're in like a nice area, great restaurants, good vibes. Then you're going downstairs in the night and you see all these people having the time of their lives. And you're there like, bro, I'm going to be here for a couple of days, you know? like it's rough. And I think by the end of that process, like I think in the daytime, I remember I had like heart palpitations. I'm not even like exaggerating. I genuinely thought like I had a fucking heart problem, you know, by the end of it. But so yeah, it is fucking intense, you know?
Yeah. So why did you decide to leave?
Why did I decide to leave? Yeah. So look, I think I was doing really well in the sense of I felt super comfortable when I was about to leave. I felt super comfortable with where I was at with my work. And I think I earned the respect of my colleagues and my peers and my seniors. And I think I was in a very good place. But I think what ended up happening was I realized, look, I'm 25. I'm doing really well for myself. But I don't feel... I see my seniors and I like my MDs and stuff. And I don't want to live their lives, you know? Or like, it's not about not wanting to live their lives. I also just... The work itself just was not intellectually stimulating for me anymore. You know, I was just like, bro, this is not like... It's just not fun, you know? At this point, I'm just like killing myself for nothing, you know? Like, I'm not really interested anymore. And I kind of wanted to push myself. I was like, look, I have no commitments, I have no responsibilities. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I definitely want to do it like a business, you know? I want to give it a go. If it fails, it fails. Fuck it, you know? Like, I'm 25. What's the worst that's going to happen, you know? I had a little money saved up in my account through the job. And I was like, fuck it, I'm going to pull the trigger and we'll see what happens, you know? And then, yeah, obviously, I now where I am. Yeah.
And just quickly, when we round off, so you're in that sort of semi-ideation phase where you're fleshing out a business idea that you have right now, and you're committed to this entrepreneurial journey.
Yeah. No, so, look, I was ideating, but I would say I'm no longer ideating. Like I'm like, executing. Look, after I left my job, I mean, it was a super intense experience for me. You know, I don't know, maybe I'm soft, but like, it was a rough experience.
You're no Gen Z.
Yeah, it was a bit of a rough experience, bro. But the first 2 months, I just kind of like just traveled. Mm. I stayed with you for a month. We played cricket together in London. I had a great time with you. By the way, I also taught him how to gamble.
One time only.
No, he's addicted. Well, I swear he was telling me one of the nights, like, let's go again. I was like, nah. This is how it starts. Then after that, I kind of explored. When I was in London, I kind of came up with a couple of ideas and I was like, fuck it, let me just try to like explore this a bit and see where it goes. So I came back to Dubai and I started like exploring the idea. I went super in depth. Like I started meeting companies in the industry and like understood their business models, et cetera, et cetera. But honestly, I went through the process. And honestly, that process of going and researching and meeting people, so many new things come out of it, you know, things you don't expect to come out of it. And that was super helpful. But then after that, I kind of locked in on one idea and I've been just focusing on like executing on it. Cause look, dude, ideas are, they'll come plenty. There are plenty of good ideas, etc. You know, but it's not really about like, it's about actually executing and starting because dude, starting is the hardest thing about doing a startup. like actually starting the fucking business is hard. Idea is easy. Like the idea will come, you can do the research, whatever. But like actually going down and just starting the work is fucking hard. You know, it's not easy. And that's basically where I'm at today. I'm just kind of going through that process now. Yeah.
Well, Yash, thank you so much for your time, man. Much appreciated. I'm looking forward to the next segment where you can talk about how this idea really fleshes out and how you've raised millions and you change the world.
Yeah, for sure, man. Yeah, I'm excited, bro. Hopefully, a massive exit. You know, we'll see what happens.
Cheers, man. Thank you for your time.
Appreciate it, bro.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.